Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I am broadcasting from Tampa, as all of you know. Thank goodness we missed the storm. Isaac, you know, I've been talking about it all week. The fact that lots of rain the one night, but other than that, it was even sunny and clear on Monday. They could have actually started the convention, but probably made the wise decision not to do that in case that nasty weather had hit here. You see the course of Isaac, which we'll be updating you in the show. The course of Isaac now bearing down on New Orleans. Lots of high wind. It is officially a hurricane at this point. And the ironic twist of all of this is it's the week of Hurricane Katrina, exactly 7 years to the day. So let me set some things up for you. It's a big night at the convention. Ann Romney earlier in the day was practicing her speech, and the gist of what Ann Romney is going to do is that she's going to present kind of the, I think, in her remarks, present the softer side of Romney and give people more a sense of him being the family man and things that he's done. My big thing is I wonder if at all in Ann Romney's speech she would touch on some of his service stuff that he did in the Mormon church while he was a bishop and whatnot. Probably a little bit. I've heard that may be some of what you might hear. Also, the big speech that everybody's waiting for, of course, is Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey. And in fact, Chris Christie, Nikki Haley, Ted Cruz, who was a Tea Party candidate, he was elected or is a candidate for U.S. Senate and got that spot to make the big run on November 6th, thanks to the big push from the Tea Party. In Tampa itself, it's amazing the amount of security. This is something else that we've focused on. Without a doubt, the entrances to the convention center, to the forum where we are doing the Radio Row segments are absolutely blocked off. Everybody is searched and everybody's asked questions and whatnot. Of course, it's all in pretty much the Floridians are very friendly about the conversations they're having with you, to be honest, when you're getting the shakedown. But talk about feeling safe, honestly, if there is such a thing, because there never is 100%, but it certainly seems that way or feels that way to me. And I guess it's the sense that I'm getting because of the amount of local police officers, the Secret Service, and others who are making the rounds outside the convention center and outside the forum. And the convention center is where all the television, radio people, 15,000 credentials in all, were actually issued. So it's a lot about the reporters and the coverage and the morning shows. You're seeing them live from the RNC, and that'll continue, especially as we go deeper into the week. A reminder about a couple of things coming up in the week. We'll have, of course, more interviews in this show. We'll have bring you lots of different flavor of what's happening here from different perspectives, and it should be interesting to actually get a pulse on some of the delegates and what the delegates are thinking from the various corners of the world where they're making their way here across the country. I saw a poll today in The Hill, and we keep talking about issues and what's the main thrust here. It's not about the personalities so much. It's more about the issues. And so the poll went like this: which issue is most important to how you'll vote in the next election? We had a drum roll. Brrr, there's my fake drum roll. 51% say that jobs and the economy are number one. 29% say fiscal issues like government spending and debt. 13 say social issues like abortion, and 3% say national defense. I mean, this isn't anything different, I think, than we've talked about now for years, actually, but for this past year, certainly, we've talked about that. One of the other big questions is the GOP more or less aligned with your own views than in 2008. I think that's significant as we try to compare what happened last time around. And, of course, it was different because you had both parties vying for that office, the Democrats and the Republicans. Here you have an incumbent. But 38% say more closely aligned. 42%, this is something that would have to change for Romney, say less closely aligned. 16% say no change. 4% say not sure. Then the other thing that they talked about in this poll, and again worth mentioning here at the top, is who was the stronger presidential candidate, Mitt Romney this year or John McCain in 2008? 48%, and this is a layup, say Romney. 35% say John McCain. So clearly there are big differences between what was going on in 2008 and 2012. And probably the biggest difference is the focus on what the issues are. And that's the very first thing that left my lips when we talked about the Hill, when I mentioned the Hill poll, is that 51% say jobs and the economy is number one on their list. Number one. 74% of Republican voters feel better about Romney as their candidate in 2012 compared to McCain in 2008, but still only 18% feel the former Massachusetts governor is a weaker candidate. So how about that? So the Republicans are in full force in Tampa, no doubt about it, to nominate Romney, and they are comfortable or growing comfortable with him. I guess all of those debates paid off, the 20-plus debates probably, and then ultimately realizing, okay, he is the guy, he's the man, absolutely. The poll also showed Romney's choice of Congressman Paul Ryan is popular among Republicans. 71% of Republican supporters say the selection has made them more likely to vote for the Republican ticket. Wow. And that's exactly what they wanted to happen, so give them a few weeks to marinate, and people are growing used to the idea without a doubt. So an interesting snippet is, I'm bringing it back around to Isaac and the fact that now it's a hurricane and has hit in the Gulf area. Gas prices there have soared. For some of you listening to us in Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama, you're probably obviously already aware of this. 30% higher. How about that? So 30% higher in the Gulf area. And what we've been told is a lot of gas stations are simply out of gas because people filled up to try to get out of town, to get out of their suburbs or get out of the city, especially in New Orleans, as evidenced by the some of the cars that have lined up on the bridges to get out of that city. I said this before, because it's in a bowl, we know that the problems that they've had there before, even with the in amazing improvements that were made to the levees, the amount of money that was spent on those levees so that there wouldn't be a similar situation to Katrina, rather. So the good news is the hurricane did not hit Tampa. The Republicans' party rolls on, and it's a very big couple of days for Mitt Romney and the Republicans to showcase who Romney is, exactly what is the tack to go Barack Obama in these November elections. And keep an eye on likability. That's the big factor. Hey, we're coming back with more here from Tampa. Stay with us on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
You know him, you love him, you know that I can't stand the fact that he roots for those crappy Redskins, but here he is, like a fly in the ointment all over the place in Tampa. I think he's had 5 seconds sleep, plus he's a newlywed. Who knows where his wife is? She's out at Neiman Marcus shopping or doing something.
Probably with her boyfriend.
Somewhere. But he is here. And he loves this stuff. He loves what's going on with the Republican Party. And he's covering it wall to wall. And we get him here on America Tonight with us at least once or twice or 3 times a month.
A lady.
when you say, Jeff, you're going on with Kate, okay? Anyway, I'm just teasing you, but Jeff Holtzman's here. Jeff, we dodged a bullet and no Isaac, no hurricane. Were you worried about that flying? Did you fly down or drive down from Washington?
No, I drove down with the rest of Talk Radio News Service last week. But, yeah, for the last couple of days, it looked pretty hairy. We actually got a lot of wind yesterday, and we're obviously inside, so, you know, we're not really affected by the conditions, but we're in a glass-encased building so you can see outside. And, you know, there's great scenery out here because we've got a lot of palm trees. But the only problem is that when there's high winds, those palm trees look like they're going to come flying into the glass. And that's what it looked like yesterday. I mean, I would venture to say the gusts were probably around 40 or 50 miles an hour, combined with a little bit of rain, sideways rain, you know, the rain that we all love when we're driving. And so I think that the Republican Party did the right thing in postponing the first day, or canceling, I should say, the first day of the convention, just because, you know, nothing, a disaster obviously did not strike, but I think it would have been a nightmare to have, you know, all those people milling around outside and driving and, you know, people flying in on that day. I think it was better to cancel the first day and then just, you know, play it safe and do what they did in 2008. And you know, and now the show goes on.
Yeah, and the show goes on, and it goes on tonight. Ann Romney is speaking. There was a lot of controversy over, oh, she's not going to get the prime time and whatnot. But she was rehearsing a little while ago. I was watching a little bit of that. And she's a pretty confident speaker anyway. But I think the idea of Romney, what I'm hearing from some of my good buddies on the inside, and I don't know that it's a big secret anyway, is she's going to make him fuzzier, warmer, because the likability factor for Romney is way down compared to Barack Obama. And there's 70 days to go until this election, and we've seen this before with other candidates when the consultants, Jeff, get near them and tell them, well, you have to soften up. You've got to show your softer side. And I think it's hard for a person to change who they are. So I think her speech is important for him. What do you think?
Absolutely. I agree with everything you just said. I mean, I do, because Mitt Romney's problem all along is that he doesn't come off as being a human being.
Yeah.
He comes off as some sort of Autobot.
Right.
And he comes off as, you know, out of touch and maybe even aloof. And, you know, his sense of humor isn't as strong as President Obama's. So he's got a huge deficiency, you know, compared to President Obama in the personality department. He really does. I mean, look, when you think about Mitt Romney, you think about President Obama, you know, throw out their policies and throw out their politics and their personal views. Who would you rather get a beer with?
Obama is what everyone's going to say.
And that's how a lot of people vote, unfortunately, as fickle as that sounds. So the problem and the test for Romney is, you know, humanizing himself to the on a national level. And that's essentially the task of his wife, Ann Romney, when she speaks tonight. She's going to have to tell stories that people can relate to. She's going to have to, you know, sort of make her husband seem endearing to people. And, you know, the Romney campaign has been working at this for weeks now. They've been trying to get Romney to open up a little more when he's on the campaign trail, show a more personable side, I should say, of himself. But it hasn't really come through and reflected. And you know what? I'm going to make a point. You can sort of see that it hasn't worked in terms of Romney becoming more personable with people and you know, personally likable, because look at his ratings with women.
Yes, I was just going to say that the headline, Washington Post, what war on women? And it says the other subheadline, in Missouri, female Republicans stand firm on their beliefs. They're saying, hey, what's that about?
Yeah.
But on all the polls, it shows the opposite.
Yeah, and you know, to a certain extent, the attacks that the Obama campaign has launched against Romney, portraying him as somebody who's going to defund Planned Parenthood and who's going to outlaw abortions and take away a woman's right to choose, that's worked to a certain degree. I mean, it's certainly fired up the liberal female base, who is already not going to vote for Mitt Romney no matter what. But it's probably impacted the votes so far of a few independents here and there, a few undecided voters. But so for Romney, you know, he's got to use this convention not only to introduce himself on a national stage, not only to beat the drum on jobs and the economy and to, you know, affirm his reputation as somebody who's going to fix it, but he's also got to come off as likable, and he's got to sort of reach out to all those specific constituencies, you know, women, Latinos, you know, other minority groups, low-income folks, and he's got to put together a broad message that he's looking out for all of them. He's got to do sort of what George Bush did in 2000 when he appealed to people as the compassionate conservative.
Right. You're right.
That's what Mitt Romney needs to do. He's not John McCain. He doesn't have this war hero status, you know, and which makes him sort of, you know, appreciated and respected by all, no matter what.
Right, right.
You know, he's respected by folks in the business community, obviously fiscal conservatives, but, you know, there's a lot of folks who are cynical of him because, you know, they listen to the attack ads. They don't know much about Mitt Romney, and they you know, when they think of him, they do word association, and they say, this is a guy who's, you know, going to take away my health care or
Medicare.
He's going to raise my taxes or something like that. So Romney's got work to do in that department, and the Republican Party cannot lose sight of that as they prepare for the last 2.5 months of this campaign. They've got to appeal to all those little groups.
Of all the people and all the speakers, and you know the list, you've gone down the list, I have Governor Chris Christie is also speaking in New Jersey. A lot of people wanted him to try to grab the nomination for Prez, and, you know, Henry Kissinger and other people were working on him, and he said, no, you know, I want to work on what's going on in New Jersey and whatnot. But he still is kind of a rock star for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have one of the best speeches. And when you look down the roster, and obviously politicians are schooled in the art of spinning words and knowing how to talk and that kind of thing. That's how you get elected. You have to at least be able to speak. But I think that he's going to add some extra punch to this. Do you feel like I do, that of all the speeches, maybe Chris Christie's might be one of the top five?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to be one of the top five most watched here at the convention.
Oh, I agree.
Just because of his reputation, people know who he is. fiscal conservatives love him. They love his economic policies in New Jersey that have lowered the state budget there. They love the fact that he's taken on unions, whether they be teachers unions, firefighters unions, police unions, so forth. I know there are some critics out there who say, well, you know, gutting a police force is a tough call to make. You know, particularly when you look at some of the urban areas in New Jersey that have trouble, like Camden, New Jersey, and you know that area
well. Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
And it's been bad for years, and I don't know that it's going to get better necessarily in a Christie administration, but that's sort of inside baseball. A lot of people here are just paying attention to whether Christie can rev up the crowd and get them fired up about Mitt Romney. Now, I've heard some speculation that Christie's speech is going to be sort of more about himself, launching him, you know, maybe attempting to launch himself into a higher elevated status. And, you know, this could be his sort of a coming out party for a future presidential run. We'll see. Another interesting thing about the fact that he's speaking tonight is I was talking to one of my good friends, Mark Feifley, who used to work in the Bush administration, and he's hosting a show on Sirius this week.
Right.
And he pointed out that usually the first 2 days of a convention feature a lot of speakers who are going to go on the attack and really go after and be partisan and mean. And that's why, likely, that's why you're seeing Chris Christie go tonight, as well as John Sununu. John Sununu has been, like, one of Romney's top attack dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And then it gets softer. That's true. It gets softer as the lead up to Romney, and ultimately Thursday is
It's about selling yourself the last day, and you know, sort of the second to last day, and the first 2 days is really going on the attack and tearing down the other campaign.
How would you compare this? I mean, and you know, now you're full on into this, but how would you compare what's happening with the Republicans this time around versus McCain-Palin? And remember, Palin was on a high at the last convention because all that stuff hadn't come out—the interviews with Katie Couric and what did she read and all the other things where she was, you know, where she was having trouble in the interviews. So this is a whole different game with Ryan on the undercard with Romney. What difference do you make in the lead up to this versus what it was last time around as you were watching from the sidelines?
Well, I think the polling, for one thing, has been a lot closer in this race.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think once Barack Obama won the looked like he was going to clinch the nomination and became the presumptive nominee, he had a favorable, sizable advantage over John McCain. And he doesn't have that this time over Mitt Romney. In fact, there's a poll out today, a new one done by the Washington Post, showing that Romney actually leads Obama by a point. So keep in mind, I mean, these are small sample sizes, but nonetheless, this is a pretty interesting poll. And Romney, obviously, I think picking Paul Ryan was a lot different than McCain picking Sarah Palin. And I don't, that's not news, and that's not really a revelation right there. I mean,
no.
McCain was basically reaching for something spectacular that was going to
something
create a lot of buzz. And people didn't know who Sarah Palin was, and he picked her,
and
it fired
it
up a lot of
buzz.
People. It created a huge amount of buzz. And it fired a lot of people up, and that was an electrifying crowd at that convention back in Minneapolis in 2008. The atmosphere is a little different this time around. I think Republicans are sort of running on policies now rather than, you know, politics, and they think they have a real shot in terms of going for substance over style, and that's what I think, you know, Romney did by picking Paul Ryan and by picking him slightly early.
Yeah.
He set the ground rules and to say, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to run on the budget. We're going to run on the economy.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. We got to go a little bit deep with you. That was great. Thanks so much, and we'll be seeing you around here. No, not go Redskins. Go Eagles.
Never. Never.
Thanks.
All right, Kay. Thanks.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we, the people, can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day. Unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What's the difference in all these online emergency food stores? The difference is Deseret. DeseretFoodStores.com has the best price on a one-year supply of restaurant-style gourmet food starting at just $695 for 875 servings. For the highest quality food with a 30-year shelf life, experience the Deseret difference at DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, or call 801-444-1444. DeseretFoodStore.com. Food for now, food for life.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We've been talking about a slew of things when it comes to what's happening so far at the Republican convention. First full day, Ann Romney, the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, a lot of anticipation over Chris Christie. Talked to a bunch of governors today and what the agenda was for most of them. Now it's a pleasure. Welcome to the show, Andrew Langer. He's been with us before. He's the president of Institute for Liberty. Hey, Andrew, thanks for popping on ATN. I know you're doing the same thing that I've been doing. You're jostling yourself all over the place, and you're running probably between...
I am, and the security is now doing a security sweep of the area I'm in. So I'm going to walk out, and actually, this is actually perfect, because I will be able to speak with you with impunity, because I'm not in a secure area.
I love that. Have you been to other conventions before and seen this kind of security?
This is my fourth convention. You know, I think security is slightly different now than it was, than it's been at the last three. Obviously, the 2000 convention, pre-September 11, 2001, was much, much more open. 04 in New York had its own set of security issues. Minneapolis had its set. They are, the most noticeable difference this year is that It is much, much more difficult to get your hands on your credentials from friends or from whomever. They're really rationing them out, and there are many, many different levels, and some folks are only getting their credentials on a daily basis, whereas they used to give out packets. Some folks are getting packets of credentials. So, you know, there is a different security. I wouldn't say whether it's more or less. Certainly there's a greater awareness of the ability of protesters or disruptors to get in, but I think that's par for the course in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And it's on the water, you know, the bridges different and the places that you named, the landscape is different in every single one of the cities. And so it's a different element each time I think that they go in for sure. One of the great things about this convention, and I'm certain the reason that you go to these conventions, is you can have lots of meetings, talk to a lot of movers and shakers, and really get a feel for where things are headed. Your interest, of course, is business and talking about keeping regulation from strangling, especially entrepreneurs. Are you getting a good feeling from some of the conversation, the chatter you're having?
Well, you know, the greatest difference between 2008 understanding of the impact of regulation on business and entrepreneurship is much, much more in the popular mindset now, more so than it's ever been, really. So folks are talking about it. They're actually talking about it within the context of the convention proceedings. It's funny because even years ago, I was on a panel with Jeff Toobin, the CNN reporter, CNN reporter. And I mentioned the impact of regulation on the economy, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, no, regulation doesn't have an impact on the economy." But you know, just sort of blustering and blubbering, and I just sort of looked at him, and in two short years, we've gone from that sort of idiotic mindset being in the popular media to folks actually recognizing that when you have a $2 trillion regulatory state, it presents an actual drag on the economy.
Yeah, and especially too when we're talking about, you know, it's like the definition of what a small business is. I mean, how many businesses in this country, and you know this, Andrew, are small businesses? I think there's confusion for people as to, well, are we talking about the monolith, the giant corporations, or are we talking about small businesses? And the backbone of the country, correct me if I'm wrong, is really small business.
90% of businesses have 20 employees or less. And that's when I talk about small business. I mean, there are, you know, the federal government has like three different definitions of what small business is. I have a very simple definition that is 20 employees or less, because there are, especially when it comes to regulation, there are things that change. And that's not not from some sort of right-wing study. The Small Business Administration has long recognized that for businesses with 20 employees or less, there is a fundamental difference in how regulation impacts them. Regulatory costs go up by about 50% when you have fewer than 20 employees.
Oh, absolutely. And when you talk about 20 or less, and I know I've worked for some of those companies in the course of my career, and I've worked for huge corporations too. And of course, with a corporation in the system that we had previous, when we were talking about healthcare, wasn't an issue because you had so many people throwing in. Now this really is an issue. Are you hearing that from a lot of people? Are they worried as this gets implemented?
It is. And we ran a project 3 years ago called Keeping Small Business Healthy, which was focused on that very nature, that very issue involved in this. But let me just put it to you this way. Just when we're talking about small businesses and jobs and the economy, if you have a business that has 10 employees, your regulatory costs, we know regulations cost about $11,000 per employee per year for businesses with 20 employees or less. So if you have 10 employees, that's $110,000 that goes out the door for federal regulatory costs. If we could cut the regulatory state by even a third, all right, a paltry amount, we could do 30% in our sleep, we would save these small businesses about $35,000, enough to hire one extra person and give them benefits. We reckon, by our math, that for every 10% of the regulatory state that we cut, we create 6 million jobs. So you cut the regulatory state by 30%, you will create 18 million jobs in this country. And that's just doing math. It's exactly, you know, it's what Paul Ryan was saying when it came to healthcare. You know, why do you know that, you know, this is going to happen? He says, well, it's math. The Democrats like to argue, you can be entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Nothing is more true than this in that case.
Yeah, so, well, maybe I'm answering my own question. And as you said, it doesn't have to be a Democratic Republican issue. Math is math, and that's found money. So why aren't more people paying attention to this?
You know, because in the end, for the so-called progressives, it's never about actually helping people. It is about increasing the size and scope of government, increasing the various institutions that are that either fuel or are fueled by the state, and engaging in the cronyism. And that really, by the way, that is the other stark contrast between even 2 and 4 years ago, is that folks understand the difference between capitalism and crony capitalism, and that what we've seen in the last 4 years from this administration is crony capitalism at work on hyperdrive.
Yeah. Yeah, because you, when you peel back the layers, you see where the money's directed, even the grants, you know, obviously there's some obvious companies that we could talk about, but you know them, and we see what's happening, and I think you're right. I think the sleeping giant has awoken. Are you surprised, or you're probably pleasantly surprised, that you may be hearing from more people who are realizing what you guys are doing and what you're talking about and some of the studies you've done? Have you seen a switch in that? Are more people connecting the dots, do you think, as you kind of said there?
Listen. You know, that is the one thing that we've actually just finished a study, or I should say, I helped the professor William & Mary do a study of the Tea Party movement and what they believe. And I've always maintained that the greatest achievement of the Tea Party movement was reconnecting people with their government. Voters are far more sophisticated now than they've ever been in terms of their understanding of policy and the way policy works, the impact of that policy. And that is certainly a measure of the accessibility of information on the web. Folks are able to digest lots and lots of information from different places. So the voters are very sophisticated, and I think we're using that to our advantage. Lots of people are using that to their advantage.
So at the Institute for Liberty, obviously you have eyeballs on D.C. and what's happening at the legislative level, and of course at the executive level and whatnot, and even we could throw in all three branches. But when it comes to the states, do you do a lot of work as far as states are concerned, where you're pulling info and stats together, or
yeah,
is it strictly national?
We've got one project that we're actually working right now. We engage in a lot of thematic things. And when you're doing thematic work, and by that I mean, you know, like principles of American exceptionalism, principles upon which the nation was founded, you can drill down that way. We've got a project called the Fan Freedom Project, which is a sort of a property rights thing that we're working on. And that is really at the state level, sort of dealing with individual property rights in tickets to concerts and sporting events. It's a parochial issue, but we use it as a tool for teaching folks who don't have an understanding of private property rights and why property rights are important, why those things are important, what they do in an economy. And, you know, understanding that you have urban dwellers and you know, students who don't own anything, they don't get that when they buy a ticket to a concert or sporting event, they can't turn around and sell that ticket or give it away. And when you start to explain that to them, they start understanding private property rights in a fundamental way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I looked this up to make sure I was right, but your philosophy pretty much is keeping the government focused on what we've been talking about, the mission of, for example, keeping the nation safe, but keeping it from interfering in the daily lives of American entrepreneurs. Have you tweaked that? I mean, that is it. You're focusing on that.
We're focused, yeah. I mean, that is what we do. The last couple of years, it's really been about American exceptionalism and those principles and how that informs why America is the strongest, greatest nation on the face of the earth. And it has to do with property rights. It has to do with entrepreneurship. I will say one of our latest projects that is going to be a little controversial is that we've come out in support of the Law of the Sea Treaty. But we've come out for the very same reasons that you and I were just talking about, which is this issue of government simply getting out of the way and letting businesses do their business. We've had the Senate that's sort of been sitting on the ratification of this treaty, and it's keeping Americans and American corporations from being able to go after and access mineral resources around the world, much in the same way that we've ceded ground to China and Russia and Venezuela on offshore drilling. So that's actually our latest one. We're sort of launching that this week.
All right, we'll keep our eyes out for that. I have to have you back on to talk about the results of that. Andrew Langer, I'll look for you on Radio Row, president of Institute for Liberty. Thanks for popping on.
Thanks.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
An important moment at the convention. Governor John Kasich from Ohio, an important swing state.
You know, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I've got a feeling. You know, I got a feeling, and it's just because I don't like the black eyed peas. I got a feeling that we're about to elect a new president of the United States of America. Because it really matters. We need a president who will restore the strength and the power of the American people so we, the people, can rebuild our economy and so we, the people, can rebuild the United States of America. Plain and simple. You know, we've made real progress in Ohio in restoring confidence because that's what so much of life is about. And we are setting people free in order to build success. But we need a new partner in Washington. This relationship is just not working. It is holding us back. I'm going to tell you our story. I'm going to tell you the story of Ohio and the story of lessons learned. I took office in 2011, and when I came into office, we were 48th in the nation in job creation. 48th. We had an $8 billion budget deficit, the largest in the history of the great state of Ohio, and we had 89 cents in our rainy day fund. Most toddlers have more than 89 cents in their little piggy banks, let alone what was in our treasury. Our credit rating was headed down the drain, and we had suffered a loss of 400,000 jobs. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the greatest moral issue in America today is job creation. We had lost 400,000 jobs, our people were hurting, and our families were hurting as a result of the recession. In Ohio, we were following a policy of tax, spend, and duck. And that's too much of what politicians do. They want to avoid the tough issues. But when we came into power with my colleagues in the legislature, we took our problems head on. We balanced our budget. That $8 billion deficit was eliminated without a tax increase in the state of Ohio. And we could not raise taxes because we were not competitive. So you know how we did it? We did it the way that a family does it. We sat down and set priorities. We eliminated those programs that we no longer needed. And you know, when government people spend our money, they're very wasteful about it. So we went through it and eliminated those things we didn't need, but we prioritized those things that we really did need. And I'll give you an example. We allowed mom and dad to stay in their own homes, if able, instead of going into a nursing home where the costs were five times as high. And when they're in their own home, they're healthier and happier and, frankly, more independent. And that saved us a lot of money because we made government work better. And that made a heck of a lot of sense for us. We also cut taxes because Ohio needed to be competitive. We were $8 billion in the hole. We balanced the budget, but we cut our taxes. And we cut the income tax. And the reason we cut it is so that Ohio could be competitive. And at the same time, we killed the death tax. We killed the death tax. Killed that death tax because no person should have to visit the undertaker and the tax man on the same day, and small businesses and farmers should be able to pass on their hard work to the next generation. And we need to do it in Washington as well. And we restored common sense in our regulations. And you know what? We still protect the environment, we protect our families, but we don't overregulate and kill the job creators in our state. In fact, we want to honor the job creators in our state and work with them because they help our families. Now, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, just like what Mitt Romney's going to face, the actions that we took were not always easy. And the actions that we took were not always popular. But you know what? When you get yourself in public service, you must lead and you must do what is necessary. And I want to tell you the good news of where we are today. I told you a minute ago that when we came into office, we were 48th in job creation. You know where we are today? We're fourth in America in job creation and number one in the Midwest. We went from 89 cents in our rainy day fund to $500 million in surplus, $500 million in surplus from being in the hole. And you know, I watched in horror as we saw the Italians and the French and the Spanish and the Greeks have their credit downgrade. And I remember the night I watched America's credit go downgraded. But in Ohio, instead of our credit going down the drain, our credit outlook has been improved because it's been recognized that we are managing our finances and creating jobs. But ladies and gentlemen, when over those last 4 years we had lost 400,000 jobs, in Ohio today we have grown new jobs by 122,000. 122,000 families better off. But you know what? The wind is in our face. The president has given us headwinds. President Obama has doubled the national debt. You know, I was chairman of the budget committee when we balanced the budget in 97, and I look with horror up at that clock that shows $15 trillion in the national debt. That's the sword of Damocles hanging over our children's head. And the president is doing nothing about it. In fact, each year he's increasing that by $1 trillion. $1 trillion. And let me also tell you that the president says his answer to these problems lie in this: more taxes. Let's take more money out of the pockets of the American people and send it to, of all places, Washington, D.C. Can you even believe it? We not only need to balance budgets, we need to cut taxes, not raise them, to get on the right track. And his regulations have had a smothering effect on businesses, and it has paralyzed the job creators. Folks, this is the wrong philosophy. These are the wrong policies. And we need a new leader. And that is exactly why I am for Mitt Romney for President of the United States. You know, I want to tell you about Mitt. He's a business leader. If there is anything we need in government today, it's people who understand how to create jobs, plain and simple. And the people that criticize folks in business just simply don't get it. They've put us in this hole. And Mitt Romney has a history of being a great job creator. Secondly, he was a great governor. He went from billions of dollars in the hole when he became governor to billions of dollars in surplus when he left, and he went from the loss of tens of thousands of jobs when he became governor to the creation of 40,000 new jobs when he left office. And he did it in Taxachusetts, of all places, okay? And remember this: beyond his work in business and beyond his work in government, he's a natural leader. He took those Salt Lake City Winter Olympics and took them when they were in peril and headed down the drain. He fixed the Olympics and made every American proud of what he did in Salt Lake City and built a shinier and brighter America as a result. Folks, I want to tell you this. Joe Biden disputes a lot of those facts, but Joe Biden told me that he was a good golfer. And I played golf with Joe Biden. I can tell you that's not true, as well as all the other things that he says. Folks, for the good of our kids, I know we're at a Republican convention. But this is not about Republican and Democrat. This is about somebody that's going to get this country moving again, restore the strength of our country, energize the people, set them free in a free enterprise system. That's what this is all about. It is about our children. It is about our families. It is about our country. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, it's about the world, because even though they don't want to admit it, they depend on the United States of America to lead and to bring moral purpose to the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to leave here and march and get to everybody to make sure that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are president and vice president of the United States. Thank you all very much.
Ohio, an important swing state, the governor making his case on national TV.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.